Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, and welcome back to another joint episode of Tomorrow's Table podcast in Solano Moms Building Community. In today's episode, we highlight the Real-Time Information Center with Vacaville Police Department through the eyes of its manager, Nikki Bill, who has more than 20 years in law enforcement. The RTIC is a modern hub combining video surveillance, dispatch integration, license plate recognition, drones, and other real tools to improve response times, officer safety, and community awareness. We had the privilege of touring the facility and sitting down with Nikki Bill from Vacaville Police Department. What an amazing, innovative, and safe approach to catching criminals, protecting our police officers, and providing precise, real-time details about crimes as they unfold. Nikki shares what it means to lead the RTIC, how it works day-to-day, its impact so far on public safety, and how citizens like you can understand and support this tool. This is going to be a powerful look behind the scenes with Nikki, helping shape safer, smarter policing in Solano County.
Welcome back to Tomorrow's Tables podcast. I am your co-host, Haley Kenyon, and I'm here with Paulina and Annabella. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. It's so nice to be back.
Isn't it? It's been forever. You guys are both headed off to college.
Yes.
Soon, right? That's wild. Annabella, where are you going?
I'm going to Arizona State University at Tempe.
Okay. Exciting.
And I'll be majoring in business communications.
Fun. Nice. How do you feel?
I feel a little nervous going away from home, but I'm excited to open new horizons and experience new things.
Oh, it's going to be great. And Paulina, where are you heading?
Right now, I'm committed to UC San Diego for general biology on the pre-med path, but I'm also thinking about UC Merced and USC, so they're giving me an extension to still choose.
Oh my gosh, big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll make the right one.
Thank
you.
You
always do.
Thank
you. Well, we are so excited because we're here today with Nikki Bell from the Vacaville Police Department, and we are currently sitting in the Real-Time Information Center, which is so cool. We feel like we're in a NASA movie. It's awesome. So Nikki, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
First off, thank you for coming here and having me on your podcast. I've heard nothing but great things from Chief Pohl, and he had a wonderful time with you guys. You made him feel very comfortable and welcome, so thank you. And also, thank you for having such an interest in what we're doing here and then sharing that with the community. That's huge for us, and that's something that we're really trying to model here is transparency and being really open with our community, especially as we walk through this new journey. So my name is Nikki Bell. I actually was born and raised in Alaska, and I moved to, and that's actually where my law enforcement career in dispatching started in 2000. So I've been doing this type of work since early 2000, and I started actually as an I-1 dispatcher. And so that actually will play a really key part into something I'll talk about later, but developing a relationship with dispatch when we were onboarding this new real-time information center was, in my opinion, critical. Mm-hmm. And I can share more about that later because I think it's a message I really want to get out to everyone else. But so this is my fourth police agency that I worked at in the past 25 years. I joined Vacaville PD in March of last year. And my sole purpose was to build the real-time information center, both physically but conceptually as well. So there's some real-time information centers in the state, but we really had to find how we wanted to do it here in Vacaville that served this organization and then the community the way that they want to be served, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm new in this role. I did a dispatch supervisor for a while. I've dispatched both police, fire, and medical. I feel most at home in the law enforcement space. And also in the last couple of months, three different ARTIC managers throughout the state and myself created a California ARTIC work group or committee, if you will, so that we can talk all things real-time information center related. So that we have experts that come and talk about best practices. We have agencies that do spotlights of their real-time information center so folks can learn how they're deployed in other ways. We talk about budgeting. We talk about different vendor platforms that serve us well. So that's been really amazing because we've been able to really network and connect folks together. Personally, I don't live here in Vacaville as so many folks do. I think it's an amazing community, but I have a farm. So I drive like an hour and 20 minutes to work every day I can have my farm. I'll feed pigs early in the morning before I come to work. Sometimes it's in the dark and I'm scared I'm going to get eaten by mountain lions. But, that's just one fun piece that I like to share. There's so much to us outside of work.
Yes.
And I don't think we talk about that enough because our identity can be very work-related instead of, hey, there's this whole other side of us. So anyway, that's a little bit about myself. Yeah. I have a family, but they allow me to work a ton of hours to get this going.
That's so awesome.
They're very patient with me.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And so maybe let's just start by, can you explain what the Real-Time Information Center is in the most basic of terms and why it's been such a big milestone for Vacaville to have one?
Yeah, if I can add just a little bit of history here about the real-time information space. So it feels like a new concept, but it's actually not. It's just gaining a lot of momentum within the last five-ish years. So the New York Police Department 20 years ago, in fact, actually envisioned and created this idea of the real-time information space. And so it's not new, but it's just making its way over here and really gaining traction because of the development in technology. Right? So the concept really is gaining momentum because technology growth is happening at such a fast pace. Mm-hmm. And initially, no one knew who should be in charge of managing that technology. So dispatch did it for a long time and they did a really great job. And then eventually, they kind of had to cap how much they did, because they still had to answer 911 calls and talk on the radio and talk to the units in the field. And so when we talk about camera, like looking at cameras for historical pieces or real-time elements, or we're talking about spectating a drone as it's flying through the city, or we're talking about running someone out in five different platforms, like they could only do so much before it became too much. And then detectives are really great at utilizing this technology as well. Mm-hmm. But if they're in the field, how can they do that and investigate and talk to people in front of them and do interviews? So there really had to be this bridge, if you will, and a space for this to live. And so that's really what the Real-Time Information Center is it's a nerve. And I don't want to take away from what dispatch is, because they also are the hub and the nerve of the organization as well. We're just an extension of them. And then we're a place where all of this information can be processed and then disseminate it out quickly to field units. So that's really the idea behind the Real-Time Information Center.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, so you're saying you had to create a new part of the police department.
Right.
Instead of just putting the work on them, you're bringing in new people and recruiting.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about how you found the three that...
I would love to, because honestly, they are the heart of the center. So we can bring in the flashy space. We can bring in the flashy software and analytics, but someone still has to interpret that. Someone still has to be brave enough to fly the drone. And so, yeah, so that was another piece. We had to build the team, mm-hmm. right? We had to build the team, and we're still not done because we're quickly realizing we need more. And
sure.
it's been such a positive experience that we realize we need more people and we want to expand to 7 days a week. So when you talk about who is the best person for a real-time information space, you will find sometimes that ARDIX, we call it ARDIX, that sometimes they're sworn filled. So sometimes it'll be a police officer in the space working, and sometimes it'll be what we call professional staff. So professional staff is basically anyone that's not a sworn police officer. So dispatchers, community service officers, crime analysts. It could really be anyone that has the characteristics of being able to pivot, be willing to make mistakes and learn from them, monitor sensitive information, be able to interpret that and put it out in a way that makes sense for everyone else. And so it's less about what your job title was before, and it's more about what characteristics as a human you possess. Mm. So we actually have a community service officer that works in here. She's amazing. She serves as our operator and a drone pilot.
Wow.
We have a crime analyst. She came new to us from another agency. She's amazing. Her analytical mind is, it's rare. It's amazing. Mm. She can put together some amazing and beautiful presentations full of information so that we can make well-informed decisions. We have two, actually, I just had a second gentleman join us part-time. They're two retired police officers. We call those annuitants, that also come in here and work part-time and fly the drone. And then myself, the manager with a dispatcher background. So that's our current staffing. And we do offer dispatchers to come in here work part-time, police officers to come in here work part-time. So it's kind of a hodgepodge group for us. We're hybrid.
And you said, it's important we are okay with making mistakes, because with technology advancing exponentially, there's so much learning every day.
Right.
Especially now the past few years.
And because this is new, mm-hmm. there's no rubric or metric for this. We don't know what we want this to look like here.
Right.
So we're literally, I was saying it earlier, but we try things on for size. And if that didn't work, then we get rid of that and we try something else on for size until the fit feels right.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be okay with, it's not even a mistake, right? It's just that didn't work. We're going to pivot and we're going to try something else out.
Yeah.
Because really the goal is here is just to be an asset to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so and so it's going to require us to adapt and change and pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, this is the first of its kind, right, in this region. How does it set Vacaville apart from other towns, cities regarding public safety?
So I love that. The first thing that's truly most important to us is breaking down some of the silos amongst our neighboring law enforcement partners and fire departments. So even here internally, the fire department is under the city umbrella. It's not that way everywhere, but that's how it is here. And our dispatchers actually dispatch police, fire, and medical. So they dispatch for the fire department and the police department. And so quickly early on, we realized we wanted to embrace our fire partners and share what we're doing in this space with them as well. So that was something. So immediately we broke down that silo and we welcomed that partnership. So the ARDIC is also about collaboration, and so we hope to do the same with our other partners in the region, Dixon, Fairfield, Sassoon, Solano County, Vallejo, and then also agencies in counties working with other agencies in other counties. So we're already training with other agencies in Sacramento County, because like the Elk Grove Police Department, they created their real-time information center about 5 years ago, and they have a very similar demographic to us, and so we look to them a lot, and now we're like, hey, how can we reciprocate what they've done for us? And so we held training here last week and put together a training for their staff and three other agencies to come together and converge. So it's about sharing the technology, it's about breaking down silos, it's about collaboration, like it's all of those things is what this center embodies.
Yeah. Another question, where does the funding come to get the technology? Is it community funding?
So that's a great question. This particular center right now, we're utilizing grant funds. BSCC is what we call it. And so they give a lot of grants, but our grant is specific to organized retail theft or organized retail crime. And so that is how we constructed this center, and that grant is good. We were awarded $4.4 million, and that grant is good and through 12/31 of 26. And so we do have to go on this adventure about making relationships and proving this model and this concept is something that needs to be here to stay. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of community relationships that we're building, and so far it's been incredibly positive. So yeah, it will need to be generally funded beginning 1/1 of 27.
Wow.
Yeah.
Generally funded meaning just from within the agency or
the city?
The city.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have our own budget here, so we either have to increase that budget or reallocate other funds. But yeah, we will have to generally fund it after the grant goes away.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
And then have you guys talked about expanding the ARTIC to different cities, or how does that look?
Yeah, absolutely. So we already have mentioned to our partners in the region, hey, if you can't afford an ARTIC, that's okay. Why don't you send an employee over here? We could share our systems, share our knowledge, and then you can bring that back to your organization via a radio or a phone or email or some other like Slack channel or method of communication. So the idea is here to regionalize, whether it's probation, parole, utility companies, the fire department, mm-hmm. and or other law enforcement agencies in the region. And then if, like, let's say Sac County had a big event, like protesters or whatnot, and they were impacted, could we help give them information for their area?
Yeah.
And then for the ARTIC, just what technology does it consist of, and how does it help the officers in the field?
Perfect. So we have, our biggest software / equipment program that we have in here is the Drone First Responder Program. We mm-hmm. call it DFR. Okay. It's hard to know what programs are going to be here to stay, because we always look at things on return on investment or ROI, mm-hmm. ROI. And I would say, though, the DFR is here to stay. So the DFR is a large drone. It has the ability to fly 4 miles from its home base, if you will. And home base for us is Travis Credit Union. They've been an amazing partner for us. And so we have a dedicated Ethernet line and a dedicated electricity on their rooftop. We have a docking station up there that has a robotic arm that can change the batteries. So the drone will go out and fly. I know. It's so cool. And then when the drone battery's low, it returns home, like it starts flying home on its own.
Okay.
It lands, and then the docking station changes its battery.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
This gives new, fresh batteries, and then it can go back to the call that it was working if we still needed eyes from the sky. So that has been an invaluable resource, because when you talk about, do I have enough resources allocated for that call? So callers are well-intended. They're reporting what they see from the viewpoint they see it in and from their own lens. And so with no bad intention, sometimes that's bad information, right? So if we can get overhead and look at exactly what's happening and then relay that to the officers, that's massive, and it's been huge. Like, they're already asking for, is the DFR available? We need the DFR. So that's one piece. Then another piece is data aggregation. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but it's a platform that can bring disparate systems or siloed information or separate systems into one pane. So we do one search instead of doing that same search in 5 different systems. Now we can do it in one, and then create dashboards of information we want to see at any given time. Like, how many calls did we have today? What is the primary nature type of the crimes that are being reported to us or concerns that are being reported to us? And then because we have so many cameras, so cameras are another element of the ARTIC, we have to have a video data analytics platform that we can query historical footage. So for example, if we had a male commit a crime, the male was a white male wearing a black shirt and a backpack, and he left on a bicycle. How great would it be, instead of you just taking your naked eye, reviewing hundreds of hours of footage, mm-hmm. how great if you could upload that footage into that platform, do your search, and then it only shows you historical footage or snippets of video of what you searched. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. It's invaluable. So it's saving detective time. I mean, they had days, hundreds of hours of footage for some sort of theft at a store. When we typed in the suspect information, it gave 30 minutes. It condensed hundreds of hours to 30 minutes. Wow. Right? And then you don't have to be worried about missing something. And then just sharing with our partners, our regional partners, those are really the elements of the real-time information space.
Cool. Yeah. Is that a lot of AI technology?
Yes, actually. Okay. So, and AI is tricky. So AI has a bad rap sometimes. Mm-hmm. So one thing I do like to say is we utilize AI, machine learning, or what have you, but it's all closed information. So it's our own generated information. So we use AI on our own records. We use AI on our own video footage that we've captured. We're not scrubbing open source information.
Okay.
So if I were to search, let's say your face. Mm-hmm. So I uploaded a picture of you and I put it into the system. We would only be putting your face against pictures that were available to us in our own databases or law enforcement databases. It wouldn't then take your picture and search the internet for social media. So that's the difference between open source and closed source.
Right.
Yeah. So we're not there yet as a city. Maybe down the road it will be that way, but for now we're not doing open source.
That makes sense.
I remember Chief Poland saying it's just more efficient with the drones because you have 12. Imagine you have a call and you have 10 cop cars go over there.
Yeah.
If you have that drone, you probably only need 2 cop cars. Well,
and that's just it. And so it lets us know, hey, do we have enough officers or do we have too many? And if we have too many, could we reallocate them to a different call for service? Mm-hmm. Or for an instance in the fire world, if we had a vegetation fire, which we know we experience in this area,
definitely.
Right? How fast is that fire moving? And how fast, what is the rate of spread is what they're looking for? And they're looking for the affected area and they're like, hey, do we have enough resources or do we need to call this second alarm or third alarm vegetation fire? And when they start increasing the alarm on the fire, then mutual aid is going to come. So you could have Vallejo Fire Department coming here, lights and sirens on the freeway, unnecessarily for a fire that was kind of petering out. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So it just allows you to allocate your resources more effectively.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I think with the retail theft, that's huge here in Vacaville with the outlets
and
the nut tree.
It is huge. And they're right off the freeway. So the suspect can just
get away.
Do their thieving business and then jump on the freeway. And then we would really have no way of being able to track them. So even if we don't make contact on that day, we can identify the vehicle and the license plate. And then we can run that license plate and we can take it as far as we possibly can. Where is that license plate hit on and what jurisdictions? Who's the owner of that license plate? Mm-hmm. And who's been stopped in that vehicle for traffic stops in Stockton? Like, we could access that now when before that wouldn't be information we have right now.
Okay.
So it's huge.
Yeah. Have you guys seen like a decrease or in theft or an increase in you guys being able to kind of close those cases?
So it's tricky on the case solvability just yet. We're going to need a little bit more time. And where we're at in the grant, our efforts are beginning literally now because Arctic is live to start tracking, are we meeting these objectives of the grant? However, we are noticed that we're trending down in thefts from commercial businesses, but there hasn't been enough time for us to say, is that just seasonally because crimes kind of ebb and flow through the seasons and we're not in like a busy shopping time. It's not Christmas. It's not holidays. Mm-hmm. So we're trending down, but we don't know yet. Is that because the suspects know don't mess with us here because we have this technology and we'll find you? Or is it because we're just in kind of a lull right now of that crime? So we'll need a little bit more time to be able to work through that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. There's so many variables with all of that. Yeah. So how, for just everyday residents in Vacaville, how does the real-time information affect their day-to-day lives, their safeties when it comes to schools and parks and local events?
So in my opinion, it really allows us to respond effectively, give the right resources to the calls for service, whether we're over-responding or under-responding. It allows us to utilize several different platforms in real time to give public safety field units truly paint a picture of what they're walking into. So they're in the right space, they're giving the right resources, they're approaching the person the way that they should be or the people the way that they should be. And it just allows us to make this when seconds matter, it just allows us to be quicker. So if we need another ambulance or we need more police officers, we can make that decision before we get on scene. So I really just think it makes us more effective in our responses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just feel knowing about this and learning this from you and Chief Poland, it makes me feel so safe here.
Yes, yeah, agreed. And
a lot of people don't know about it yet, so that's our, we're going to try to help you with that.
That's
with,
why you guys are here.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Because it makes me feel so grateful to have this.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that giant, like, smile, you're on camera, because you were saying that. There's how many hundreds of...
So we have about 330 cameras here.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, you're on camera everywhere.
Yeah. And the thing is like, we're not using technology that's not already out there in the private world. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're trying to convey to people, is that the private sector is already using this information. When you walk into Target... they know whether or not that you've committed prior thefts, either at that Target or other Targets. That information is already out there. So we're just like, how do we maximize that for the benefit of public safety and others?
Right.
Again, that leads into another question. How does the RTIC balance the need for real-time data with community concerns around privacy and trust?
So that's a very fair point, and that was something that was important to us as well, right? So there's a balance of when is it too much, right? And so for us, transparency was really important, which is why we opened up the Real-Time Information Center on Tuesday for tours, so people could actually see what it is that we're looking at to remove some of that that they just didn't know, right?
Yeah.
So we want these relationships. We've been on a tour, if you will, talking about what it is that we're doing in here with what we're capturing. And when we fly the drone, something just really important to think about. When we're flying the drone, we're flying with a drone nose up or on the horizon, if you will. And so we're launching the drone reactively. We're not proactively launching the drone. So we don't have drones going up at all times just looking for things to happen. Mm-hmm. We're responding as calls for service are alerted to us, whether that's an officer in the field on a traffic stop that we want to get eyes on for him or, you know, for the officer, or is it a call for service that's been alerted to us by the community. So this isn't us going out and finding, this is us being reactive.
Right.
And then we're flying to something, again, we're flying nose up to the horizon, so we're not actually looking at what's happening below us, we're just trying to get to the call for service quickly.
Yeah. I feel like the citizens here would have concerned sometimes. What is that about the house?
Honestly, they've been really positive.
It's good because
a few weeks ago, it was very strategic. Before we had our open house, we put this press release out in our video that we made, and it was like, let's just put it out there and let's see what happens, right?
Yeah.
And we already knew we lived in a very supportive, or that we served a very supportive community. We knew that, and I'm telling you, we're incredibly fortunate because this unit's success is largely based on the support of not only the directors within the city, but the community in the city in which we serve.
Mm-hmm.
So that automatically set us up for success. And we put out this press release, we put out the video, and we were watching socials, and they were positive.
Nice.
And so people were ready for this, but I also think we took away a lot of the questions and concerns by just saying what we're doing and how it's need to know, right to know. We're not looking at things just because, so we're not watching our kids walk to school or our friends, whatever. We're not running someone's license plate. It's all need to know, right to know, and we have to document all of that very carefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that transparency is huge.
It
so
is.
You guys being the first ones to extend that out, I feel like just puts everyone at ease and like reinforces that safety feeling that we were talking about earlier.
Yes. And then can you share a real-life example where the RTIC could significantly improve or change an emergency response outcome?
Yeah, so I actually can refer to Fiesta Days. It was one of our early wins. Mm. So Fiesta Days, we know that that's a big public event that
it's hectic.
Yeah, we bring in a lot of people. Mm-hmm. In fact, they actually even had to put, as I understand it, they had to put a pause on it for a couple of years because it was deemed a little bit unsafe, which was a huge loss because it was something the community enjoyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So this year we had the drone available, the DFR available, and the DFR was assigned, if you will, to Fiesta Days. And kind of just flew over it to make sure it was going okay. I'm working with ground units, just kind of watching maybe people that looked a little suspicious to make sure that they weren't doing anything wrong. And then we had a report at one point of a missing child.
Mm.
And those carnivals and those events, there's a lot of people, and it's really easy for a child to get separated from their parents.
Yes.
And so immediately the drone was dispatched. And within just a few seconds of flying overhead, the drone was able to locate the child and then direct field units to the child and then reunification with the parents, which is massive.
Yeah,
so, massive.
That is huge.
Yeah, it was a huge win.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I got lost at the state fair one time at Cal Expo. That would be awful. I was little, it was horrible.
That would be awful.
Yeah, obviously I was found. But yeah, I think my mom would have been so appreciative if there was like somewhere she could go and they could have eyes on me, because she just kind of had to pray and wait. again, just the feeling of safety that you guys are providing is really incredible. So how can you explain a little bit more of what it's like? Because we are the only real-time information center in a pretty large area, mm-hmm. if not only one of the couple in California. Mm-hmm. What is it like to collaborate with other counties, jurisdictions, mm-hmm. To kind of get this information beyond Vacaville?
So technology is amazing. We're already creating you probably haven't heard of Evertel, but you know Slack, right? Mm-hmm. So Slack, you can create rooms for communication. So we're starting to onboard some different applications where we can do real-time communications via whatever our communication network is of choice. But I think what is the neatest part about all of this is seeing how differently the Arctics are deployed by agency. So we are very public safety focused. So even agencies will call their Arctics something different. Like they'll call them RTCCs, which are real-time crime centers. Some call them RTOCs, which are real-time operation centers. So every agency calls it something slightly different. For us, it was important that it's a public safety tool. And so we're sharing with our partners, even in the region, we're newer, how we're already incorporating our fire friends into this. So we're able to share that, and that's kind of a new concept.
Okay.
So we don't yet know what it looks like for our regional partners. We are working with Dixon very closely. We were able to allocate some funds in our grant so that they could get a year for free to Peregrine, the data aggregation platform, mm-hmm. and they're actually going to go live next week with it. And so we were trying to be really good stewards of the grant money so that we could make this a regional asset from day one.
That's great. Okay.
So what does the future look like for Vacaville now that the RTIC is live, and how can other cities learn from this model?
First things first, I think it really puts us on the map. Like, it really puts the city of Vacaville, not just the Vacaville Police Department, it puts the whole city and community on the map, that we are an innovative group of folks, that we want to combat crime, that we want a safe community for our residents to live in. And so I think that message is being heard loud and clear. I mean, just today before coming over here, there was another meeting we were involved in. And so there's folks that are invested in watching what we're doing here. So we're really paving the way mm-hmm. on what supporting community looks like. So these are relationships too. Like, we have been going around making relationships with different schools, with different businesses, so that hopefully they can integrate their cameras into our real-time information center. And it's been so positive. And so really it's about building relationships, being innovative, mm-hmm. not ever settling for being comfortable, always pursuing something new and something different and learning along the way, and then sharing that, right? Being really kind with sharing everything that we have with others. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
No, Vacaville, this police department is such a role model now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All over the state or nation.
Yeah. I would say nationwide. A couple of us are speaking at the National Real-Time Crime Center conference in September.
Wow.
And so we're really trying to spread the word of what we're doing here, mm-hmm. So that people really can see different ways of doing real-time information center spaces. Yeah,
that's so great. Exciting. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us, for sharing everything. We're just so grateful to have this time with you. And it's a huge testament, not only to this department, but to your character as well and the people you're working alongside. So we're so grateful. Is there any one last thing you'd like to share with our audience as we sign off?
Yeah, I just think I want to welcome conversations. So if there are folks that are apprehensive about what we're doing here, that Chief Polin and myself really want to answer those questions and break down any of those barriers before it stews inside of someone. Right. So just, we welcome those conversations is really what it comes down to.
And what's the best way they could reach you if they
have
questions?
So I can leave you guys my email, but we also have an information page on the Vacaville City website. I'll have to get it for you. I'll write it down for you. But it's Vacaville/Arctic something or other. But there's information on there on what we're doing in there. But you guys can always go through the chief's assistant as well. And then I can give you guys my email.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So we did all the hard work with all the amazing information that you've given us. Now we are in the fun part.
Okay. I like fun.
The random question is, if you could swap lives with a character from any movie or TV show for 24 hours, who would it be and what would you do with the time?
Ooh.
That's so a cartoon one. Character or just anyone?
Any character.
Okay. I'm might not know the character's name. I'm really bad at movies. I don't know if this is appropriate, but have you guys seen Schitt's Creek?
Oh, shut up. Who are you going to be?
I just want to be the mom. She's amazing.
With all her wigs?
Yes. I'm like, her wig, she's always put together. Like, they don't know anything. They're in this ho-dunk town, but Schitt's Creek. So when we're doing, like, serious work all the time, there's nothing better than going home and just laughing at these just mess of a family that can't even sustain themselves outside of their rich hoity-toity life. So Schitt's Creek, I don't know the mom.
Moira.
I
forget her name. Moira. Yeah, Moira. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, that's who I would be because she is funny. Just a mess, and I just love her so much. And what you see is what you get. Like, truly. And I just love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be my
person.
What
would you do with your time? Just run around the little town?
Change my wigs? Change your wigs. Drink coffee in the shop? Complain about everything? Yeah, that would be my worst problem.
Like,
what wig am I going to wear today? Does it go with my outfit? Am I coordinated? Yes, I want that to be my biggest worry. So, yeah.
I love that. That is such a good answer. Yeah. Such a fun show. Well, thank you again for being here with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you
for listening to all of our listeners, and we'll see you next time on the Tomorrow's Table podcast.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.